Welcome back to Average Day, a podcast series on the Lawn and Landscape Radio Network. My name's Jimmy Miller, and I'm an associate editor with the magazine. On this podcast, we interview green industry executives to learn more about their daily routines. Today, you're going to hear from Timothy Trimmer, the president at Professional Grounds Inc., or PGI, in Virginia. We talked about setting yourself up for success in the long run, why a morning greeting matters, and what his one-on-one meetings look like on a day-to-day basis. Here's Tim. Tell me a little bit about you and what you currently do in the landscaping industry and how you got involved in the first place.
Okay, so my father started Professional Grounds in 1974. This is when HOAs were really fairly new. He started, you know, pushing them over himself, and he built the company to be something pretty successful. He got sick in 2008 and really stepped away from the business. I was too young to take over at that point. We weren't a very large company then either, but at the time I just wasn't ready to manage, you know, a whole operation. So he kind of just, he's doing fine now, but he stepped away from the business for many, many years, and the business kind of just ran on its own. In 2015, I just changed my title to president and started making some decisions and really took on a leadership role. In 2017, we shut down the residential landscape department. So we are just commercial maintenance now. That was a big deal. We didn't feel like we could do residential maintenance and commercial maintenance both well. It was just too much. So we decided to try to focus on one thing and try to do that better than anyone else. I can't imagine working in a cubicle somewhere on the 17th floor. I think I'd lose my mind. I love what I do, and I think people in our office share the same sentiment.
Yeah. Now, was landscaping something that you always knew you wanted to get into, or was it something that you, I mean, obviously you were kind of born into it, right? But was it something that, you know, even as a kid, you kind of felt like, okay, this is something I could viably do, or did it kind of take a little bit of persuasion from your dad?
No, I think he always told me one day you're going to, you know, work at PGI, Professional Grounds, you're going to possibly run it if you do good enough. And he knew I had a very, very hard work ethic, and I still do. And I think, you know, he saw that. He knew that I was capable at a young age. And I've got a younger sister and an older brother. The older brother I know didn't want really to be involved in it. My sister kind of did for a little bit, but it wasn't as serious as me. I mean, I really focused on it from a young age. Like, I was here every summer when I was 14, 15 years old, working summers through college, through high school. I worked on different crews. I was always kind of just learning and starting from the bottom, you know, and it just kind of happened at some point. I think when I was about 33 is when I really started taking a leadership role, and I wasn't ready before that, but I kind of always knew I was gonna move into this position.
Yeah. Now let's start here at age 33, where, you know, you're kind of talking about moving into more of a leadership role, and you say you didn't feel like you were ready for it at that time. Specifically dealing with, like, your approach to your daily routine, how did that kind of change when you shifted from, you know, where you were into more of like a management or leadership type role?
Honestly, it was when I took over and I started, you know, taking a leadership role, it was a blur. We had so many issues with our core business because our focus was on residential. 90% of our effort was on residential, and it was only like, you know, a third of our revenue. So we weren't even focusing on our core business. When I took over and we started making a lot of major changes, I was a little probably more stressed than I should have been. And I started waking up some mornings at 1-2 a.m. and I would lay in bed for hours thinking about what I had to get done. And then I would go into work at 5 or 6 and I'd be behind, and it didn't get better. Eventually, if I woke up at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning, I knew I was going to be up. I would just go to work. And for probably a year, I was getting in the office at 1, 2, 3 a.m.
Oh, geez.
And I'd work till late at night. And I had some things I was working on, improving our systems and some processes. And I worked extremely hard to push that through. It was honestly a blur. But I feel like that had to be done to make the improvements we wanted to make. Otherwise, I would have never had time to kind of work on the business.
Yeah. Now, did you feel like that was what got you out of that habit, was finally getting to the point where you had those processes in place? Or was it a matter of, okay, I can't be coming into the office at 2 a.m. anymore. This isn't sustainable. You had to make a change, or maybe some combination of the two.
There was, I knew there were certain things had to be fixed, and to fix those, and for me to have a good work-life balance, I had to get all this stuff done so we could be a well-oiled machine. And now we are a well-oiled machine. You could see just in our systems, on our sales team, they were selling, you know, 50 to 70% more than what they were selling when our systems weren't streamlined. And I remember at a staff meeting, our top salesperson said, well, I mean, us doing these estimates is so fast now, and a lot of the things we did are so quick now, I can get so many proposals at it. I'm not working any more hours. We're just more efficient than we used to be. And I remember that stuck with me. And it's like, wow, you know, my work paid off, you know, putting these things together. But I knew we had to be more streamlined or else my life would never be sane. So we got streamlined in probably a 2-year period. I really worked hard to get them done. And once it was done, like right now, I don't seem to have I don't work an extraordinary amount of hours anymore. When I come to work, I work. But I think putting the time in really helped, you know, my future and all of our futures in terms of being, you know, an efficient, well-run company.
Yeah. I definitely want to touch on your current daily routine in just a second, but kind of throwing things back still to that time where you first started, because there could be somebody listening who is really just starting in a leadership position. You know, did you feel like you had seen, like you felt like this compelling reason to come into the office at all types of different hours to get these processes in place and to set yourself up for success later? Was it something that you had seen maybe your dad go through where there wasn't as much work-life balance, or maybe you saw it in other leaders? I know that you mentioned that you're in some peer groups. What was it that made you think, okay, I need to get this done now or it's going to be a problem later?
It was just, I saw how inefficient we were, and I didn't even really realize it until we got rid of the residential residential division and started looking at the commercial division. I'm like, man, we didn't have any meetings set up. No one had any meetings at all. The estimating was just a disaster. It was, our AR was bad. We didn't have any business development. It was across the board. I just knew things needed to be done. There was no one that really inspired me to do it. I just knew, okay, for me to get to this point, this needs to be done now. And the only way for me to get this done now is just to get it done.
Yeah.
And when I start working on something, I get extremely laser focused on it. So I'd start a project and I'd want to finish that project. I'd work and work and work for, you know, a month or a week or whatever it is. And then I'd move on to another project. What am I going to fix now? What am I going to fix now? But I had a kind of an attitude of every day, every week, I want to come to the office and make the company better. Not just get through the day, but I need to improve the company long term every day I come to work. And I still have that mindset. Every day I'm trying to make improvements that make us better for tomorrow or next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, about how long did it take before you could kind of rest a little bit easier at night knowing, okay, we're in a pretty good spot now?
I would say there was 2 years of fixing the biggest problems. But even today, like this week, last week, I'm still working on things to make us better. But it was probably a couple of years to get our major core systems fixed. We use a lot of different, I don't like the idea of using a ton of different systems that don't talk to each other. I don't like the idea, for us, it doesn't make sense to use an industry-wide software that, you know, takes a percentage of your revenue. I didn't like that idea. I didn't feel like that would set us up for long success. I felt like I had the capabilities to build our systems, and I just did it.
Yeah.
I did have some help from some team members that were pretty good too.
What would your best advice be for somebody who is kind of currently going through this phase of, hey, we got to get some processes in place, you know, tirelessly working to make sure that we're, you know, we are in a good spot moving forward. What would your best advice be to somebody like that?
I think every solution is different for every company. For us, I know where I'm strong. We use a lot of Excel, but we don't use basic Excel. All of our sheets are tied together, and they're pretty intense. But some people know QuickBooks really well, and I think if they know QuickBooks really well, you can do all your estimates and everything in QuickBooks. Some people might not be an expert in any of these system stuff, and maybe at that point it does make sense to go to a boss or an Aspire or something like that. But I don't know. I think each companies play to their own strengths, depending on where they're weak, where they're inefficient. Like if you talk to your employees, where do they struggle? Where are they wasting time? And then you just kind of sit down and make a decision, not individually, but as a whole company, what do we need to fix and what program or what system are we going to implement to make it better? So I think you can hire a company to implement a program or a system at your office or your business, but if it's not the right thing and it doesn't work and it doesn't do everything you need it to do, it's a nightmare trying to move again. It's just, I would do a ton of research and make sure you're 100% sure that what you're using is going to be, it's going to be a good fit for you, because if that decision is wrong, it really impacts employees of the company in a negative way.
I can imagine and hope that you're not going into the office at 2, 3 a.m. Most days now. So why don't we talk a little bit about your current routine, you know, and how you kind of get started for the day. Is it a matter of like waking up at a consistent time, eating the same type of breakfast, going into the office the same time, or does it really vary based upon the day?
It's pretty consistent. I mean, I set my alarm for 5:45. Certain times of the year, like my busiest time of the year is February and March, kind of getting ready for the season. We're in Northern Virginia, so we start mowing in April. I still have the rule, if I wake up and I feel like I wake up at 3 o'clock, and if I'm up and I feel, and I know I'm not going back to bed, I still go to the office. Okay. I feel like I'm most productive in the morning before people get there.
Okay.
But I will say that doesn't happen nearly as often as it used to. I do always try to get here before the crews get here, and I make a point, and I think it's one of the most important things I do on a daily basis. Our main office, we have two locations. Our main office has about 100 employees. I make a point to walk around, shake people's hands, say hi to everyone. I don't want them to think they work for us and they're just a laborer or you know, someone that is just a laborer to us. I want everyone to feel like family. I want everyone to feel like we care about them. We work extremely hard to make sure our employees know that we care about them, that we take care of them, not like an employee, but like a family member. And I think spending, you know, 20 minutes a day just to walk up and say hi to either a group or an individual and shake everyone's hand, I think that means a lot. I think that's more powerful than what people think. They get into the office and I got all this to do and that to do. The most important thing I do, at least, is say hi to those individuals.
Yeah. Is it a matter of catching up with their like personal lives? Like, do you feel like you've built personal relationships with each of them? Or is it, you know, just kind of touching base each morning and making sure that, like you said, they know that you're there for them?
I mean, a lot of them I can't even really speak with outside of their bad English or my bad Spanish.
Okay.
but those individuals, I'm just saying hi and shaking their hand. But, you know, the team members have been with us a while. I definitely want to know them a little better. I know a lot of their kids' names. I'll know their family's names. I make a point at our company party to go, you know, introduce myself to the family, and I kind of take notes and try to remember it for next year. But I think if you show an interest in them, they're going to show an interest in you. I think it's important, and I think it's really helpful. There was something else I was going to say. I can't remember now, though.
Oh, that's all right. If you think about it, just let me know. But you wake up at around 5:45, unless, you know, you wake up and you know that you're up, right? And you get to the office. Have you already like done the whole breakfast thing by this point? Or does that come after you kind of talk with your crews? Or I know a lot of people kind of skip breakfast.
I kind of skip breakfast. I usually eat lunch, and lunch can be at 10 o'clock or it could be at 6 p.m. for when I get home for dinner. It can be any of the above. I mean, it depends how busy my day is and kind of just what my meetings are looking like. That is just, for me, when I eat is an afterthought. It's it's when I have time or when it makes sense for me.
Okay, I gotcha. Now, in terms of how you kind of construct your day, it sounds like every morning starts the same, where you go and shake everyone's hands about 20 minutes before, or for about 20 minutes before they head out for the day. Once they're all out in the field, what do you do next? Is it a constant thing, or does it kind of depend on the day?
It's fairly consistent in that I always have free time in my office to catch up on emails and get done what I need to get done till at least usually 9 o'clock. Then when 9 o'clock hits, depending on the day, I think it's very important for every single manager to have a weekly one-on-one meeting with a meeting with the people they oversee or on the org chart. So I have about 8 one-to-ones right now a week, and those usually happen anywhere from 9 to 1 o'clock during the week. So I have a lot of meetings really in that time frame, 9 to 1 o'clock. But I try to leave at the beginning and end of the day. I try to leave a few hours open to where I can work on what I need to work on.
Yeah.
We don't miss those one-to-ones unless it's something urgent. I mean, unless, even if people are off on vacation, we'll do them a lot. But we try to stick to those. I feel like they're important. It's important for an employee to know that they can ask me questions, that they have my ear for an hour and I have their ear for an hour. It doesn't force conversations, but things just come up and you learn a lot about your company and a lot about what's going on and maybe some problems, maybe some issues. And they've been really helpful for me, and I think the employees as well.
Yeah. Now, how do you construct, or rather, how do you kind of design your one-on-one meetings? Like, what is it that you do in the one-on-one meetings? You know, some people will meet just to meet, right? But it sounds like you guys have a pretty good formula that you stick to. So what is it about those one-on-one meetings that, A, you find so valuable, and B, you know, you've been able to find consistency with?
So we like to think they save us time. You know, if I have a meeting with someone, they might bring in 7 things that they wanted to ask me. And it's much more efficient to have them bring those 7 things to me and we talk about those versus them coming to my office 7 times and knocking my door and interrupting me, or me interrupting them. So we work very hard to make anything that's not time sensitive and can wait, we wait for that meeting. So I think that actually saves us time and, you know, limits distractions. In terms of a meeting format, I always like to think before, during, after. So what projects are we finishing? What did we work on last week? What are we working on now? What problems are you having? And going forward, you know, what do we need to resolve? What projects do we have coming up? So it's really simple. Just it's for me, before, now, after is kind of the general format that I think about.
Yeah. Now, do you use this time to kind of review their performance and go through some of the things that, you know, you've noticed around the office? Or is it really just more kind of conversational? Like, how formal are we talking here?
It's not that formal. But I do ask them, like, if something, I can tell based on how they come in or what's been going on, if they're having a good week or a bad week, and I'll ask them that, like, hey, how's your week going?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been hard. Well, why has it been hard? You just start those conversations and you learn a lot. But it all depends. I mean, some weeks you can tell they're really busy and they got something to do, and maybe the conversations aren't as much and they don't have any questions for you, and it's shorter. I schedule an hour just so they know they can have up to an hour up, you know, but usually the meetings take about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Some take a lot longer at different times of the year, but I would say usually they're 30 minutes.
Now, are these meetings always in person? I think you mentioned before that sometimes, you know, if an employee is on vacation, you still kind of run the meeting.
Yeah, they're in person for the most part, unless someone's out of the office and they can't make the meeting. You need to reschedule, and you can only do it by phone. But typically they are, face to face. I think they're just more effective.
Do you find the value in that face-to-face interaction more than maybe anything virtually?
Yeah, you can read their emotions better. I mean, you can ask better questions if you get a feeling for how they're feeling, what is their stress level, and what are they working on. You can sense it when they walk in the room. Yeah. And I think that's very important.
Okay. So moving past these meetings, because it sounds like these kind of run from about 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. ish, somewhere in that zone, right? Several times a week, once weekly with each of your managers. What comes next for you? Is it a matter of catching up on some of the emails that you might have missed during those meeting times, or is there something that you consistently do following those meetings?
No, other than that, I mean, outside of those meetings, obviously I have my own meetings. I have my meetings with some customers. I don't manage any properties anymore. So I don't have too much, conversations with customers, but it's me catching up on emails, making sure I'm doing what I need to be done. I've got a to-do list that I live by. I write it every morning and I know what things I need to get done for the day. So, you know, between those meetings, I'm really thinking about what I need to get done before I go home.
Okay. And are you one of those people that has to get everything done on the to-do list before you head home? It sounds like maybe you are, because I am also one of those people.
I would say if it's important to me, I'm getting it done.
Yeah.
But if I get three of those things done and I've got three things that I didn't get done, there's no way I could get everything done that I needed to get done almost ever. So the list is long. And if I cross some things out, the next day I just rewrite it, and the stuff at the bottom kind of moves closer to the top.
Yeah.
In an order that I feel like it's important. So I don't think I could ever get everything done because it's a lot of big projects on there. I try to focus my time on, you know, implementing systems that make us better. And some of those processes take a long time to get done.
Right. You can't just knock it out one day.
Need to be get done. They're more the larger stuff.
Yeah.
That I need to get done.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the stuff you're working on, you can't just get done in one day. So when you head home for the day, first, how do you determine when it's time to go? Do you have a consistent time where it's like, all right, I need to head home, I'm done with the office? But secondly, how do you separate yourself from, you know, that job? Like, how do you find that work-life balance if you feel like you've struck that balance?
So I feel like I do a really good job at work-life balance. When I get home, when I'm at work, I work, and that is the only thing I do. I don't do anything else besides work. When I go home, all I do is I'm with my family, and that's all I do. I might check my email on my phone, but I'm never working on anything outside of just, there's no calls. I mean, I don't do any work at home ever. I get home, depending on the time of year, I might get home at, you know, 5 or 6 in the spring or before the spring, but most of the time I'm home by 4, 4:30. And when I'm home, like I said, I'm home, I'm playing with my kids, I'm helping with dinner, I'm helping clean. I like to be home. I would not be well working from home at all. I would get distracted by all the things I need to get done at home.
Yeah.
So, no, when I come to work, I work, and when I'm home, I'm not working at all.
Yeah. What would you recommend to somebody who's still trying to find that balance? Because it sounds like that's something that you have found over the years is, you know, you can separate that work. Once you're walking in the front door, you know, you're no longer on the work schedule type of thing.
Right. Well, I think if people are going home and they are still working when they get home, I feel like they need to decide how many hours they want to work a week. And if you're working 70 hours a week, but you want to get it down to 40, you can't just keep working to solve that problem in terms of you need to find a solution to it. Like, how can you make your company more efficient? How can you make your job more efficient? What are you doing from a recruitment standpoint to find employees who are going to be to help you out? I feel like everyone says right now, oh, we don't have the right people. We don't have enough people. We can't find people. We don't have the best managers. I would venture to guess that most people wish they had a few more great candidates in the office, but I wonder how much other CEOs or presidents of companies are actually, how many hours a week are they actually spending recruiting?
Yeah.
My guess is not much. they're just kind of hoping that this employee comes across. And I think you really need to put more time into recruiting the right people to help you take some of your responsibilities from you.
How do you know when you've found the right employee who can take those responsibilities for you and you can effectively separate yourself from the office when you're home?
So we used to hire, I would say back in, 2000, maybe even 10 or 15 even, we would hire employees from other companies, and a lot of times they were on Indeed. They worked at three different landscape companies, and we would interview them, and the interview's great. Well, an interview is really hard to see what someone is really like. And we would hire these people, and we, as an account manager, let's say, and then we'd lose a bunch of properties, and eventually they wouldn't be with us. They'd either leave, or we'd have to let them go, or it just never seemed to work out. So we started looking for people, not based on their experience in the industry. We started hiring people based on, if they're a good person, do they fit our core values? Our core values are you staying on track? Track spelled T-R-A-C, teamwork, responsibility, attitude, great, commitment. Mm. We look at those core values. We feel like if they have those core values, we bring them in. We don't put them in a leadership position right away. We put them in a training position. We use the account manager as an example. We don't just throw them in and say, hey, you're an account manager, you're managing these properties. We have them work directly under senior account managers for 2 years. We usually have them work in the field for a year to see if they have any grit. And then once they're in the office, working under an account manager where they're just helping them out. You know, our account managers are very valuable to us. I don't want them going to measure tot lots. I want these junior account managers, we call them, going to measure these tot lots. And really for 2 years, assisting these senior account managers. And after 2 years, they start understanding the process, they understand the industry better. And it's not like a training period. They are training, but they're also really helping us. They're, helping our highest paid account managers get more done. So it's a situation that's been really helpful. It helps, I think, them for training, gives them more time to get up to speed. And it's given us an opportunity to grow people at a pace that we think is healthy.
Okay.
So it's been helpful, and that's been a much better solution.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I'm glad that you've found that solution. Awesome, Tim. Well, I think that just about wraps up an average day in your life, which is great. Is there anything that we didn't cover throughout, the duration of this conversation that you feel like somebody should know, whether it's about you specifically or about maybe the best way to structure an average day?
I think you need some sort of consistent schedule every day. Mine is not complicated. It's emails and things to do in the morning, meetings middle of the day. You need some sort of consistency. Mine got a lot more consistent when I took myself out of the field and I wasn't managing properties. That seemed to take up a lot of my time, and I felt like if you have customers, it's just where your time goes. And I felt like I had to completely cut that off for me to be able to really work on the business, and that was a big help. My advice to everyone, what's been helpful for me is just taking care of your employees, treating them like they're not human, but family. Like, just treat them well, do everything as fair, don't nickel and dime them, don't charge them for uniforms, just treat them fairly and they'll treat you fairly.
Thanks for listening to the Lawn and Landscape Radio Network. This was Average Day, and this was Jimmy Miller. We'll catch you next month.